fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for the opportunity to gather here tonight and to open your word. And just for these next several minutes, just think about, focus on world evangelism and the need throughout the world. And Lord, thank you for each of the missionaries that were here this past weekend and the messages that they preached and the need in the various mission fields. And we just pray, Lord, as we think about and we prepare for the missions outreach of Knock Realock Baptist Church in 2019, that you'd help us to think about it, that you'd help us to be praying about it, that you would speak to our hearts about what part we would have in it. We ask all this now in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Bible says that Jesus said here in Matthew chapter 9, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Well, who are the laborers when we're talking about worldwide missions? Who are the laborers? Somebody tell me. Frank? Yeah, we are. We're all the laborers. The missionaries are the laborers, and we're the laborers. It's a group effort. Paul uses the term in one of his epistles, striving together to reach the world for Jesus Christ. It's all a group effort. 7 billion people live on the planet now. That's a lot of people. 7 billion people. And the command has still been given to reach the world with the gospel. But notice this, what it says in verse 36. It says, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted not and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest, and then the word truly. Truly. The word truly there is a very intense word in the Greek language. It's a very assertive word. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. We're reminded that there's a harvest. And there are people, listen, whether it's here in New England or whether it's in New Zealand, there are people that need to hear the gospel. There are people who will come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. There are people who need the hope of Christ. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 126, verse 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. He that goeth forth, that's what our missionaries are doing. They are going forth into all the world. And we help them go forth. We are a part of them going forth. And it's so important that you and I are part of that. And look in your Bibles. You tell me, what kind of a harvest did Jesus say it was? Plenteous. Plenteous. It's a plenteous harvest. I remember some years ago, it was just a perfect growing season, which is kind of rare for where I live. You know, when you plant a garden up in the mountains where my house is, and I mean, you have to have a perfect growing season because of the elevation. It's cool up there. And I had so many plants in my garden, I couldn't give them away. In the end, there was just so much that I think probably the animals ate stuff. And as much as I could give away, it just kept growing and growing and growing. Well, the fact of the matter is, why does Brother Fielder want to bring a Iranian translation to the Iranian people? I was reading an article today in, what's the magazine, the Voice of the Martyrs. There are certain areas of Iran today that the mosques have fewer and fewer attending the mosques. There's an underground movement in Iran of Iranians leaving Islam young people who are just tired of all of the violence and all of the rhetoric and all of the hopelessness. They're not caught up in all of the orthodoxy, if you will, of that whole Iranian and Muslim jihad. The reality is most people want to live a happy life. Most people want to live a peaceful life. And there's an entire generation in Iran that's just tired of all of that. I was in college when the Iranian Revolution took place. And there was at that time, there was the Shah who was kind of in control, was in control of Iran, and he was deposed. And ever since that time, I don't really know much about the Shah, and I don't know much about his rule, but I know this, there was more freedoms when he was in control than there are freedoms since the Ayatollahs have been in control. But there's a whole group of young people that are hungry. And so sometimes, we have to be careful. Here we are in New England, and it can be sometimes spiritually cold, but there are still people in New England coming to know Jesus too as their Savior. Amen? But they're all over the world. There are people coming to know Christ. And we can get all caught up. We look at world events and we can get all kind of depressed. People are coming to know the Lord. And the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. I said in one of the meetings during the conference that in my first missions conferences that I ever attended, before I was even sensing God was calling me into the ministry, I remember the missionary telling us that debutation was 2 or 3 years, and then they were to the mission field. And debutation, of course, for those of you, what do you mean debutation? That's what missionaries do. They go out. The missionaries that we support, they contact local churches like ours. They contact the pastor. They're hoping to get invited to come to present the work to that local church. And then if that church so feels led of the Lord, we'll take them on for support. So that's how the 41 missionaries that we support, that's how and why we take them on for support. We invited them here. We got to know them. They preached to us. Chris Burkholz, he was here 3 years ago. And so we're taking him on. I had one missionary that was on the mission field for, I think, 11 or 12 years before we took him on for support. And he kept sending me missionary letters. And he was in Lithuania. And we had a spot that opened we could take on a missionary. And God just kept burdening my heart. And so we ended up taking on the Dones that are in Lithuania. But all over the world, people are coming to know Christ as their Savior. And yet, the Lord wants you and I to be involved. So we can learn here from this text, from Jesus. He's the pattern. He's how we pattern our lives. So notice this. There's just three simple points to this Bible study. If you and I are going to be involved in missions, it's all a matter of how you see it. How you see it. How did Jesus see it? Look what it says. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. He saw them. He saw the multitudes. And he sees the multitudes today. Just like in the Old Testament, there's an illustration of this. When God heard the cry of the Israelites, and God sent Moses to deliver the Israelites. Listen, God hears the cry, of the Iranian people that I just mentioned. Or God hears the cry of the North Korean people that are under such spiritual bondage. I said some months ago, we have been praying for the leader of North Korea for a couple of years. And there are many churches like ours that have been praying for the leader of North Korea for many years and for the North Korean people. I just don't think it's any accident. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. But all of a sudden, do you remember in the news when the president began to interact with the leader of North Korea? And everybody said, many people said, this is going to end bad. This is going to bring nuclear war. This is going to bring devastation. Well, that didn't happen at all. And the two are talking, and we should really be praying for that I'm not going to say that the door in North Korea has swung wide open, but there's a crack. There's just a little crack in the door right now. And we should be praying that that door keeps opening. The North Korean regime is the North Korean people are the they are the greatest oppressed Christian people in the world right now. There's no other country that oppresses their people as far as Christianity than North Korea. And I'm going to show a DVD next Sunday, not this Sunday, but the following Sunday. That's November the 4th, which is praying for the international prayer for the persecuted church. And I'm going to show a DVD this coming Sunday, just getting ready for that in our morning worship service. It's just 4 minutes long. And to think about that, people all over the world are being persecuted. Just like the Israelites were being persecuted by the Egyptians, God hears their cry. And the cry of those believers. He sees that. And it's so important for you and I to see it. Look on your handout. I wrote for you John chapter 4 and verse 35. And in John chapter 4, this is when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well. And give you a quick Bible quiz. Who was the woman at the well? What was she? What was her descent? What was her heritage? Yeah, she was a Samaritan. And you remember that Jesus said at the beginning of chapter 4, I must needs go into Samaria. And because he already knew that he was going to meet with this woman. And I think that's just like the missionaries. I must need go to Honduras. I must need go to the gypsy people. And Brother Evans invited me. They're building a church in Romania. It'll be done, I think he said, in 2019. He asked me if I would go to Romania in 2019 and dedicate the building. And so maybe I'll go. I'm not sure. Shelley said she'd go with me. I was shocked. She never really likes to travel that much. But she's traveling this summer, my wife. So I'm really surprised that she's going. She's going to Europe for 2 weeks this summer. I'm excited for her. My girls were going, and she wasn't going to go. And my daughter Hannah wanted to go, so she asked Lydia. Now I'm thinking to myself, I really don't feel comfortable with just Hannah and Lydia going to Europe for 2 weeks. So my daughter Talitha, she caught wind of it, and she wanted to go. So her husband said, yeah, go ahead. And so she's going. I don't know if he said, yeah, go ahead. Probably Talitha probably told him, yeah, I'm going. And then Bethany, she's graduating, she wanted to go, but we just didn't have the money for Shelley to go. And I just thank the Lord. All the kids got together, all the adult kids got together and paid Shelley's way to go. And so the five of them are going to Europe. Oh, wow, what a crew that's going to be. All right, but good for them. But peace and quiet at home for 2 weeks. And but I must needs go to Honduras. I must needs go to the gypsy people. All of our missionaries. I must needs go to the Philippines. Nancy, in the Philippines, how did you come? You came to know the Lord in the Philippines? Was it a missionary or a Filipino pastor? Filipino pastor. The only way that a Filipino pastor could be pastoring a church in the Philippines, because somewhere along the line, second generation or third generation back, when MacArthur called for missionaries to go to the Philippines, MacArthur called for missionaries to go to Japan, but somewhere along the line, missionaries ended up in the Philippines and churches were started. The Filipino people were trained in the ministry, and souls are being saved. It's exciting. And so I praise the Lord for it. But it's because missionaries saw the Filipino people, and they were brokenhearted for them. Jesus saw these people. Jesus saw you and I, and he was brokenhearted for us. It's how you see it. So this is the Samaritan woman. And Jesus spoke with her at the well, and you remember the Jews and the Samaritans. They didn't normally have relationships. They didn't like one another. But Jesus spoke of himself, of course, and told her that he was the living water. And I'm not going to get into all of it, but she was moved by the Lord, realized who he was, and she went back to her village. And she went back to her village and she said, come see a man who told me everything about myself. And now she's gone at this point when this verse is being spoken. She's gone back to the village. Follow me? She's gone back, and Jesus now is there with his disciples. So look on your handout. Look again now what it says. Jesus said to the disciples, "Say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest?" He said, "Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Now, a lot of Bible teachers think this, that when Jesus was speaking to his disciples, telling him this, where had the Samaritan woman gone? Where did she go? She went back to her village. Well, what happened? Well, read it. The Bible says that most of the Samaritans in that village came to know Christ. Many Bible teachers think this, that she had gone back to the village. She said, "Come and see a man that told me everything about myself." She believed he was the Messiah. Many teachers think that that village began to head out to where Jesus was. And when Jesus said these words to his disciples, in the distance was that village that was coming to him to hear the gospel. Nobody can be dogmatic about that, but it's been suggested. Many Bible commentators I've read have suggested that. The point is, he saw the woman at the well. We see the woman at the well. We see the need. It's all a matter of how you see it. All a matter of how you see it. How do you see it? How do you see it? God's been so good to us. How do you see it? What really matters? And then I noticed this in the text, that he was moved with compassion because they fainted, were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. It's not only a matter of how you see it, but it's a matter of what moves you. What really moves you? In Mark chapter 5 and verse 19 on your handout, this is the lunatic, the kind of the madman of the... Jesus is at the Gadarenes, and there's a man there that's chained and foamed at the mouth. He's kind of like crazy. And he meets Jesus along the way. And he has an encounter with the Lord. And this is the man who is possessed by demons. And Jesus exercises the demons out of the man. And do you remember those demons went from the man and the demons went into what? Huh? Pigs, into swines. And you remember in the story, the account, the swines run down the hill and they run off the cliff into the sea. And this is a man who people knew. He ran through the mountains. He was like, but the Bible says that when he came to know the Lord, he was in his right mind. And what moves you? You know, people they need the Lord. You not only do you have to see them, but you have to be moved to want to help them. I think of that video that we showed not too many weeks ago about the Allens in Papua New Guinea and that medical clinic that they have there. And when I was in Haiti several years ago, there was, it wasn't part of our group, but the place where we were staying, there was a medical team from the United States, doctors and nurses and dentists that regularly go into countries like that. They set up shop for a couple of weeks. They give free clinics for people to come. But the whole purpose isn't for the medical treatment. It's for spreading the gospel. They evangelize while they were doing it. But so many of our missionaries, you know, we saw the missionary going to Burma and the rice, 100 bags of 100 pounds of rice. Wasn't that what that was? Something like that. So that's a lot of rice. We saw so many dealing with orphanages and trying to help people, just moved with compassion. Even I was talking with Chris Burkholz about this group that's coming up from Honduras. And so he understands that we have to be a nation of laws and you just can't have thousands of people cross the border. But at the same time, those are the people that he really cares about and he knows what those people... trying to think, what's a solution to all of this? Because he's burdened. He's just burdened for those people and from the country that they come from. And that's what happens with a missionary. A missionary gets burdened. So burdened that they just can't stop thinking about the people that God has called them to minister to. Most missionaries, at least the ones that I've met, would, if they could just stay on their mission field and not come home, they would. I mean, they like to come home to see their family. But they just, they can't wait to get back to the people God has called them to. I remember it moved, I've never forgotten, and it happened, I bet you it happened 20, 25 years ago. But we used to show, we didn't have a screen, we used to show, this is in the days of the slide projectors. And we would show where that fire thing is. It wasn't there then, but we would show the missionary slides on that wall right there. And some of you remember that. You remember that? And our missionary at the time to Papua New Guinea was here, Terry Taylor. They're retired, since retired. And I never forgot it. I wasn't in the ministry then. I was just a layman in the church. And he's standing here, and he's, you know, just giving a, going slide by slide, and he's giving a report, and he wept. He wept through most of the presentation for his people. I remember when the tsunami hit the Philippines, and he had started like 17 churches, something like that. Three of his churches were completely wiped out. People were killed. I remember him sending a missions letter and saying, you know, if all of my supporting churches would send $50, that would be a great help. And I was asked to preach at Boston Baptist College in Boston just right after that happened. And I'm traveling on my way to Boston to preach, and I'm thinking, $50? Man, I don't think you could get a good meal for two people inside the city for $50. Is that all we could give, $50? And I was so proud of our church at that time that we raised for that tsunami. We didn't have nearly the finances then as we have now. We raised $1,000 and sent it to Papua New Guinea to help those people. And listen, we haven't a church our size to be able to support 41 missionaries. It's because people see it. That's what they see, and that's what matters. It all matters of what moves you. And so this man had been saved. This man who was in chains, he was literally in chains and literally in bondage and literally out of his mind. There's a real picture there of the world, amen? People who are enchained and they're in bondage. And the man had said, and I think in verse 18 of Mark, he said, Jesus, can I just stay with you? Can I just go with you? And here's what Jesus said in verse 19. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but he saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And in the next verse, it says he went back to Decapolis and he published the great things that Jesus had done for him. You know, that's what you and I do. We're moved with compassion towards people because Jesus was moved with compassion and we came to know Christ as our Savior. We may not have been like the lunatic running around the mountains, but we all were enchained, enslaved to sin and in bondage to sin, the servants of sin. And Jesus saves us. And so I've always looked at missions as just being thankful to the Lord for what He's done, giving back to Him so others can have what you and I have. And then lastly, it's all that matters if you're willing. So Jesus said, when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith He unto His disciples, the harvest is plenteous, the laborers are few. The laborers, even then, the laborers are few. We need more laborers. We need more people involved. We need people either to be goers or we need people to be senders. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. We need people who are willing. We had here this past weekend several families that were willing to go. What they're looking for is people willing to help them to go. the senders, the goers. Jesus said in John chapter 9, this is the story of the man who was born blind, and he said this though. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Well, we recognize that Jesus was the light of the world. Amen? But you and I, we're also supposed to be the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's what missions is about. Missions is about letting our light shine. When we help to finance missionaries to the mission field, it's letting our light shine. We've run out of time, and I'm not going to have you turn there, but in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8, Jesus is challenging the people. He really quotes out of the book of Isaiah. And he says this. Go ahead and just turn there, and then we'll be done. You're right there in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8. This is a quote out of Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 13. In Isaiah, in the days of Isaiah, Isaiah is dealing with all kinds of things amongst the children of Israel. There is drunkenness amongst the Israelis. There is covetousness. There is idolatry. And there is a mix of Judaism and pagan religions. And even creeping into the temple worship. And here it's a different issue, and I'm not going to get into all of it. It's a whole message. But Jesus makes this remark. He says, verse 8, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. So verse 8, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth. It's one thing to say something, but you have to do something about it. And Jesus was dealing with an issue then. These were people who said, oh yeah, we're followers of God, but they weren't following the Lord as if the way that the Lord wanted them to follow. Like the Israelites in Isaiah, they said that they were believers in the one true living God, but their lives didn't show it. And it's the same with missions. It's great to have a missions conference. It's great to have missionaries come. It's great to enjoy all of it. But really, for it to matter, it means you're moved by what they've said, by the feel that they've presented, and then you put your thoughts and your feelings into actions. You help them get to the mission field. Or else all we're doing is honoring God with our lips, but really it's our heart. When our heart is in it, then we're moved to do something about it. Amen? You've got to do something about it. You know, let's just not be hearers of the word, but let's be doers of the word. So that's my Bible study for tonight. What really matters? How do you see it? What moves you? And are you willing? Are you willing to have a part in it? And again, I'm just so thankful for so many in our church all of these years that have had a part and see it, and they're involved in missions. All right, I'll have a short word of prayer, and then we'll go to the Lord and have our prayer time. Lord, thank you for the opportunity again to be here tonight, and Lord, help us as we approach the throne of grace and we pray for these requests. We pray, Lord, that you would answer each of these according to your will, and thank you again for the conference. We pray, Lord, that you would bless this coming Sunday as we prepare to take up our faith promise commitment for 2019. In Jesus' name, amen.